For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yankees baseball is on. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
For the Bill Ford Tough Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. I had a chance to watch the Hard Knocks episode that you guys were talking about yesterday. And yes, there was some interesting stuff in there between John Mara and Joe Shane and everybody else that is a part of this giant scouting and front office department football operations. And they're putting together a roster. And they got Brian Burns in there. They signed the 2 offensive linemen. They replace Saquon Barkley with Devin Singletary. We know, even though it hasn't been shown in Hard Knocks yet, that they draft Malik Nabers. They've got Kayvon Thibodeau. They got Dexter Lawrence. I mean, they've got some players on this team. I mean, we don't think Daniel Jones is the greatest cornerback in the world, but they got some players on this team. So I take a look at Pro Football Focus, and I know some people really rely on Pro Football Focus, and there's others that think, you know, I don't know if I really believe in their analytics, and I don't know where they're coming up with this. It's too many numbers, not enough eye tests. But they put out a ranking of the NFL rosters yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Full ranking of the NFL rosters.
1 through 32?
Yeah, so we're just talking ranking of players in their world. 1 through 32. The New York Giants?
Can I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
With the additions that they have, 2 new offensive linemen.
By the way, good morning, Boomer. How are you? Yeah,
I'm great, G. Good to have you back. Right, we're diving right in,
yeah,
man. I love this. This is like hardcore sports talk.
Yeah.
Because you obviously saw this, and you can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I was shocked by this.
I got shocked.
I was.
So that means they're either in the top 10 or they're in the bottom 10.
I think it's fair to say, yeah.
They're either in the top 10 or the bottom 10.
Shocked.
If you are shocked.
Did you guys see this, by the way? Because I'd like to see what your blind opinion on this as well before
I did not.
Guesses. So you didn't see this. All right. So if I'm telling you that I am shocked by the result of where Pro Football Focus has the Giants when they're ranking their roster, where do you think they have them?
I'm going to say 30 out of 32.
Okay.
If you're shocked, because I think you think the Giants suck, so I'm going to say 15.
Yeah, it's like, see, this is the thing. Shocked because of what they've done this offseason with adding those 2 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Brian Burns, drafting Malik Nabers. I mean, they have basically added 4, and Devin Singletary, by the way,
mm-hmm.
who is a good back, is a really good back. He may not be the burst or have the burst that Saquon Barkley has, but he's a really good, solid
running
back. So I'm telling you, they upgraded pretty much at every position that they that they've attended to, with the exception maybe of safety and a running back.
Well, corner.
Corner. And yeah, but they got some young guys coming back from last year. And they have a new defensive coordinator. All right, so you're shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie, you said 15 nets in the middle. That's not shocking. Shocking would be like 9th or 10th. Shocking would be 28th to 32. I'm going to say 28th.
All right, so you and Fleegs are on the right track. I'm shocked because I can't believe how bad it is. It's 31 out of 32. The only worse roster is the Denver Broncos. Now, I would have been more shocked if the Jets were in the top five, but I'm still shocked. To me, the Giants...
You're talking about the Giants, not the Jets.
Sorry. Jets are in the top five. That's why I said that. Freudian slip. Okay. The Jets are actually number 4 on this list of rosters. So I would be very shocked if the Giants were in the top five. More shocked than I would be when I saw 31, but I thought the Giants would be somewhere in the 21 to 25 range. 31 out of 32?
According to Pro Football Focus.
Right, which, what does it really matter? We don't know.
I know one thing that my former colleague, J.J. Watt, you know, was not a supporter of Pro Football Focus. I'll keep it at that.
Right, but Chris Collinsworth is the one who was part of starting it.
Yes.
And we obviously respect him and his football knowledge and everything else.
And they try really hard to get the right people looking at the right tape and trying to make decisions and then spitting out the data. And then it's amazing how many people in college use it and how many people in the NFL use it. So it is a useful tool that many people do rely on for quality and accurate information.
Yeah, now we watch John Mara and we see them watching the TV screens and we see that they are tuned in to some of the stuff that happens around the league when it comes to a news and information standpoint because they have it on in Joe Shane's office.
It's the NFL Network.
Right,
yeah.
So they've got that on. Now, Joe Shane also said he doesn't listen to sports talk radio. He couldn't tell you what channel it was because that's more opinion-based as opposed to news-based. I wonder, as tuned in as they seem to be with certain things, like, does John Mara look at this and go, what? 31 out of 32? The New England Patriots, the Carolina Panthers, the Washington Commanders, the Arizona Cardinals, the Indianapolis, all these teams have better rosters than what we have, and this is your third year? What? I mean, how is that even possible? Now, they may not agree with it, but at the same time, that's bad. That's bad.
It's pretty eye-opening. I didn't think they would be ranked that low, but look, it's a chip on the shoulder spot, if you ask me. It's a motivational spot. I mean, I guarantee you the players have seen this. I guarantee you this will be something that, you know, Brian Daboll will use as motivational forces to try to hopefully get this team really focused in. But it also goes back to, you know, the quarterback position. Like, where is Daniel Jones ranked in their eyes when it comes to that position, being that that is the most important position? Because I'm assuming that they take the entire roster and they attach a data point to that particular player that's playing that position, and they probably do it by the most important positions going forward. So the most important position is quarterback. The second most important position would be left tackle. So left tackle, they got one of the top left tackles in football.
Yes, they do in Andrew Thomas. Yeah,
you would think at defensive tackle that they are stacked there with Dexter Lawrence.
100%.
You would think an edge rusher, they have two guys now. Kayvon Thibodeau continues to grow, and they have an established pass rusher in Brian Burns. Mm-hmm. You would think that those are pretty good.
Yeah.
The Illuminor signing and the Runyon signing. Illuminor is one of the most sought-after offensive linemen in free agency, and Runyon was also a sought-after player, and they were fighting with the Jets for him.
That is right.
And one of the reasons that, you know, they walked into Joe Shane's office and said, you know, we're probably going to have to go a little bit higher than what the Jets are offering simply because of Hackett and Rodgers. And you can see Joe Shane exasperated going, what?
Yeah.
I have to now negotiate against friendships?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, and that is certainly part of it. And it's interesting in watching that episode. And by the way, too, we know in talking about Daniel Jones, we always sort of knew, but it is hammered home in the preview of the next episode that they wanted to trade up. There were multiple guys they had their eyes on. There's a video in the preview of Brian Daboll being asked, is Jaden Daniels a guy you would trade up to get? And Brian Daboll said, yes, we know that they like Drake May, and they would have traded up if the price were right, and you would have had Daniel Jones having to have a top three pick sitting behind him, or maybe even starting if he wasn't completely healthy, and we would have had another one of these guys come in here that would have been potentially the future of the quarterback position for one of these two teams. So they wanted to do it. It just was too pricey for them. But they were trying very, very hard to move up.
You know, for Daniel Jones, it's going to be a tough year anyway. And there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on him. There are going to be high expectations for him. But had they been able to move up and draft, it would have just been miserable. Oh, it would have been horrific. Because whether it be Jaden Daniels or whether it be Drake May, I think more Jaden Daniels than Drake May, but if they would have gotten Jaden Daniels, it would have been, the fans would have been all over the Giants to play that kid.
Mm.
And it would have just been untenable for Daniel Jones. They would have had to move Daniel Jones, I think. I don't necessarily know that in this situation that they could have coexisted. I don't know how you could have. It's one thing to bring a guy in when you got a guy that's 38 years old and maybe he's towards the end of his career, kind of like what Atlanta's doing with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. But I can't even fathom what that would have looked like had they been able to make the trade, and would they have kept Daniel Jones? That would have been the big question for me. And I would have been advocating you gotta move Daniel out of here because
I don't know how hard that would have been with the contract and the out at the end of the year and the dead cap and all that stuff. It might have been tricky, but yeah, that would have been very, very awkward.
Yeah, I kind of wish this was being done a few years back when they were discussing the Daniel Jones contract extension. I would have loved to have seen some of those conversations going on around the offseason, much like we're seeing now about how they're trying to acquire free agents. You know, we're going to go through the draft with them. You got to realize that Daniel Jones is a human being. So he's got friends. He's got family. They hear things. They probably go to him and say, could you believe what they were saying? Could you believe the Giants were looking to trade up? Why do you think the Giants are looking to trade up? All this crap that he's probably had to deal with this entire offseason. So maybe he comes back stronger for all of it. I think maybe some of this is also fodder to get a fire lit under him.
Sure.
I mean, a great guy.
It worked the first time.
Hey, dude, great guy, awesome person, you know, probably highly respected in the locker room, but not exactly what Shane and Daboll really want at their quarterback position in terms of personality types.
Yeah, and they are now stuck with him for another year, and their jobs may be on the line because of it. And John Mara obviously was not happy about the Saquon thing. I don't know if he's gotten over that by now or not, but I think John Mara was wrong on all of that. And I know that it hurts to see a guy that you drafted who's popular go to a division rival, but you could not go the extra mile for Saquon Barkley. You couldn't do it.
I also think that part of him saying that he was our most popular player, I don't really want to lose him, I'm going to be sick to my stomach watching him in Philadelphia, I kind of feel like that was all set up for the Giant fantasy, that the owner felt that way.
Okay, but you don't think he really felt that way?
I think he probably does feel that way, but they wanted to make sure that everybody knows that he feels that way.
Okay. I mean, for what reason? Were Giant fans really all that upset that Saquon Barkley left?
It's not so much that he left, it's where he went.
Yeah, I know.
But if he goes on to have, you know, like a combined 2,000-yard season receiving and rushing, I think you're going to have exactly what John Mara kind of was pointing out to Joe Shane. Okay, I'll let you kind of do it. You know, this is how I took it. I really don't want to. He's our most popular player. He's perfect. I love the guy. And he's going to the Eagles. It is kind of like he doesn't want to get himself immersed in making the decision, because there has been, over the years, many people who have felt that he's been too hands-on. and that he has allowed the wrong decisions to go on, or maybe he's made decisions because he has been, you know, loyal to certain players, Eli Manning being one of them.
Yeah.
And now that loyalty here showing up towards Saquon Barkley, at least verbally it is.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that John Mara 100% hears the criticism about him being too involved in the football stuff. So that benefits him as well to go in there, give his opinion, and it's not the opinion that ended up winning out in the room because Joe Shane and his guys did what they were allowed to do. John Mara didn't say, go and sign that guy. You have to. He just dropped a couple of hints here or there. Now, I know that Mike Lombardi went on with McAfee yesterday and absolutely slammed the Giants and Joe Shane and his staff, and how do you allow all this access in there and show that the owner is unhappy and all of these things. And I don't know, to me that seemed like a healthy general manager room where a owner could come in and express his opinion. Okay, sir, I hear you, but you hired me to do this job and I'm going to do this job.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. I felt like, you know, they're giving Shane and Daboll a chance really to get the team where they want to get it. They just can't get the quarterback that they want. And that's been a real problem for them. So, I just, Mike Lombardi agreed with me, however, that there are so many people in there. You know, and it's so many opinions. But
that's like every team, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but I don't necessarily know that it's opinion-based. I think it's the opinions are coming from people that are evaluating players that the Giants may be interested in or may be able to draft. You know, they go into these in-depth investigations on these players. What are they like? What did they do? Were they in trouble in college? What did the high school coach say about them? You know, all of these different aspects of reading into these players. And then these people bring their opinions about those players to the general manager, because the general manager has got to count on those people to really find the right players. And then he ultimately has to make the decision, are we drafting a need player or are we drafting just this great athlete that we'll figure out what to do with him when he gets here?
Yeah. I mean, I think most teams in the NFL have a massive amount of scouts and people in a room. I think it's just only the Jets that have the one person that runs the whole organization, and Aaron Rodgers. There's just one guy in the room.
And five guys getting them ayahuasca.
Yeah, right, yeah. So it's just, and they have the smallest decision-making room in the NFL. Just the one guy,
Then the question is, I mean, when is he going to sign or trade for Davante Adams?
Yeah, hopefully sooner than later, as that continues to churn.
I did see another kind of piece of speculation that does kind of make sense when I saw it.
A ton of fenth.
Now, it has nothing to do with the Jets. It has everything to do with the 49ers and the Raiders.
Mm.
Brandon Ayuk, very unhappy about a contract.
Yep.
Davante Adams chasing a ring. It would be the perfect scenario for the Raiders to sign Brandon Ayuk to a long-term contract. They'd have their number one young guy, a part of the rebuild out there. And then Davante Adams would be happy by going to the 49ers because now he would have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl ring.
Man,
Makes a ton of sense. That kind of does make a ton of sense.
Man, let me tell you. I don't know. If they can't pay Brandon Ayuk, can they pay Davante Adams?
Well, $16 million? Yeah. I think they could definitely fit that in there. Or they could, again, like I told you, because Davante Adams, according to SpotTrack, is scheduled to make $36 million next year. That's why the Raiders have to trade him.
Yeah. I mean, listen,
the Raiders are going to want something for him. And if they were able to acquire Brandon Ayuk and then give him a contract extension as a young man, a young player, you know, reaching his potential, and then giving Davante Adams an opportunity to go for a Super Bowl, I could think Davante Adams would be happy with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Ayuk's a very good player. I still think Davante Adams is head and shoulders above him. You add him to that offense, my God.
But it's a money thing. It's a cap space thing. And, you know, the one thing about John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan out in San Francisco, they just don't sit on their hands. They are willing to make mistakes, and they are willing to go after players. And we've seen that. And now they've caught a little bit of lightning in a bottle with Brock Purdy making no money.
Yeah.
And that helps, because then you could start building around him, and they're going to have to give him a significant raise this year. So there's going to be some money going his way. I just don't know how much money's going his way. I don't know where they're starting that contract at.
Yeah, that'll be a fascinating one to pay attention to. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry will join us in just a couple minutes.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
So we often talk a lot about Daniel Jones' contract, and that's fine. So where do you think Brock Purdy is on the San Francisco roster when it comes to the amount of money he is expected to make this year before any sort of contract renegotiation?
I mean, he's probably way down that list in the 40s or something.
The 50s.
Oh, man.
Right now, he's the 56th player on the 49ers roster when it comes to how much money. He's going to make a little bit over $1 million
this year. Tell me, there's guys on the practice squad that make more than him?
Well, I don't think so.
They're a 53-man roster, right?
Their backup quarterback, Joshua Dobbs, makes $2.2 million.
Wow.
So I wanted to do a head-to-head comparison to Jordan Love and Brock Purdy, and just to see, you know, just the numbers, just look at them. So Jordan Love is played in 27 games. Brock Purdy has played in 25 games. Jordan Love is, I think, 9-9 as a starting quarterback, and Brock Purdy is 17-4. Purdy has completed 68% of his passes, thrown for 5,600 yards, average pass attempt 9.2. Now, for Jordan Love at 7.2, it's 4,765 yards. Purdy averages 226 a game, 176 for Jordan Love. Only 15 interceptions for Purdy, only 14 interceptions for Love. And it's these are the two guys that need new contracts. But the point being is that Brock Purdy's numbers are just incredibly insane. And how good he is.
That's right.
And how accurate he has been. Now
he's going to get paid.
Great team around him. Great coach. I mean, you know, when Patrick Mahomes got to Kansas City, perfect situation for him. And Brock Purdy went to the right team and the perfect situation for him. And he's going to have to get paid.
All right. Jerry Recco is here. He's got an update for us. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning to you. Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Not a whole lot out there today, so we'll get to as much as we have. You guys open with the Giants in that Pro Football Focus rating. So a lot of reaction, obviously, from the Hard Knocks from a couple of nights ago. And yes, John Mara was shown, and you had the whole thing with Saquon Barkley, and he's going to be sick if he goes to the Eagles. So one take that was out there was one from Adam Schein on SiriusXM. Oh. And that was that John Mara is looking like an owner that is not interested in winning as much as he is in jersey sales and making money, to where he then goes off on Mara.
This is a monster story. The owner of the Giants on record telling the GM, I'm not going to sleep at night if he goes to Philly, and he's our most popular player. So now, if you didn't know, and you've been burying your head in the sand, the Giants are being run by a buffoon. A complete and utter buffoon who has no idea what's going on.
It's a monster story, at least today, because there's nothing else going on. My God, I got nothing to talk about. This is unbelievable, the stuff that happened back in March. It's either this or Caitlin Clark, everybody, so buckle up.
Oh, we're getting to it, Adam. Yeah, I think that's a bit of a strong take, but so that was...
Absolute buffoon. Rockhead, balloon head, dummy. Ass face.
Because they're not being run. Joe Shane's running it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just so be it. But that was kind of funny. Then we've talked a lot about Devontae Adams, as you guys know. In this Club Shay Shay show with Shannon Sharp, so a couple things. We had the clips yesterday that Chris played about the Aaron Rodgers stuff.
Yes.
There's a lot more in there. As this one where he talks about Aiden O'Connell being the starting quarterback, possibly.
I do believe in Aiden, and I think he's going to be able to feel a lot more comfortable. He looked pretty good in OTAs, and we're just going to continue to grow and learn from each other. And I've always been a big advocate for him because when he first came in, he came in real confident, balling in the OTA period and in preseason, and showed everybody what he has the potential to do.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, love that.
That's for his guy.
Yeah, why do they sign Gardner Minshew?
Well, he talks about Minshew as well, okay. You know, and talks from watching him from afar. But he's talking about Aiden O'Connell, who's now been there, and he was kind of thrust into the scene when Garoppolo got hurt. And now with OTAs, he's looked great. But then there's another name that comes up.
How's Brady? Brady's
hell father? Yes.
Oh, God damn! You didn't let me finish the question, Tay.
I know exactly. Hey, I knew it when you said Tom Brady. I knew what you said. Let me see what he gonna say. And then you got to talk about ODs. I don't care.
And then Shannon would then ask the follow up.
You would take Tom at 47, 48?
58 right now. Hey, nah, Tom know about how I feel about him, man. I was a person that played with Tom and Aaron. Right. So that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. And,
I mean, he getting older, but I mean, he got to still be able to throw it better than, you know, half these dudes in the league.
It's unbelievable.
Wait, you weren't here yesterday. Michael Rubin was here talking about the white party catching passes from Tom Brady out on the beach.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But he's still got it, man. He's still got it.
Of course he does.
And your poor, and your poor buddy, your poor guy, Michael Rubin, he is such a narp. He embraces being a narp.
Gee, you had to see this. So he wanted to catch a pass from Boomer. So Boomer's like, we can do that. So he grabbed the football, and Michael was 10 feet from him. So he throws him the ball. He caught it.
Yeah.
The throwback was a knuckleball.
Oh, really?
It was like a pushback. You know, it's like,
oh, yeah. One of those.
Yeah. Boomer goes, what is that?
Oh, no. I mean, he's a brilliant businessman. He's got a lot of energy. Right. He's going to run this Fanatics Fest. It's going to be great. He's just not an athlete.
It's a stay in your lane spot. He knows it, too.
Yeah.
He readily tells you. But I thought that was funny. Devontae Adams all over the place here.
Yeah. Aiden O'Connell, but Tom Brady at 58 could be better than any of these guys.
And Aaron. Love to play with Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
It's out there. 100%.
So there it is, definitely out there, no doubt. Team USA beat Serbia in an exhibition game. They blistered them. Steph Curry. He had a bunch of threes. He had 24. Nikola Jokic, 16 points and 11 rebounds for Serbia. The WNBA, she's making news yet again.
Caitlin decided not to shoot. Mitchell will. Hits the three.
Oh, my goodness.
We're tied again.
This is incredible.
And so Caitlin Clark with the assist on a game-tying three in the fourth quarter. That call on ESPN gave her 19 assists, a new WNBA record. Though they did lose the game, 101-93 to the Wings as they ended on an 8-0 run. In terms of the record and the assists and what she's doing, here was Clark.
I just try to set my teammates up for success. I think at times, like, I can almost overpass, and that can maybe, I don't know, there probably could have been a few times where instead of passing that leads to turnover that I may have, I can probably shoot the ball.
They are now, I believe it is 11-15 on the season.
The amazing thing is, if you watch some of these highlights night in and night out, the amount of times she throws the ball to her teammates and it goes off their hands. Like, they just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Like, I think early on when she, like, the first four or five games, like, these players, like, nobody has ever thrown us a pass where this person is throwing us a pass. I mean, she literally sees the court like Larry Bird.
And that's why when people are saying, oh, she only does one thing and hits threes, it's such a crazy take by...
But that's what made her a star.
It definitely made her a star, but she does a lot more stuff than that.
She's a great player.
Well, yeah. She shoots the ball like, you know, like she could be playing in the NBA. That's how she shoots the ball from that depth. And
that's why people watch her.
And she's strong enough and she could do it. I actually enjoy the pass making. Like the assist, the way that she sets her teammates up.
The masses, it's the 35-foot three-pointers that no one else does like she does.
She's such an unselfish basketball player. That's the thing.
Yep.
I mean, completely unselfish.
In a mind-boggling announcement last night, the WNBA announced that both her and Sabrina Ionescu will not compete in the three-point contest this weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
it's why is that?
Don't know. The article didn't say give a reason.
So Sabrina Ionescu was in the NBA three-point competition, but not the WNBA three-point competition.
Right.
And Caitlin Clark's just not in it.
Correct.
I mean, did she decline?
The article that I read was literally three paragraphs and just said that they are not involved in it. And the headline was in a stunning announcement from the WNBA last night.
So we need to know whether or not they turned it down or they were not invited.
I'm sure there's more articles written about it.
If you're the WNBA, if she turns it down, it's one thing. Then it's on her. But if the WNBA doesn't invite both of them.
Oh, I don't think it was from a lack of an invite. There's no way they wouldn't have invited those two.
Well, that's why I need a little bit more clarity from this.
I could be wrong. I just assume they both declined.
Now, they're on the cusp of signing a 7-year, $2.2 billion deal, believe it or not, for their media rights.
Deal, yeah.
Which is good. Thank you, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
For really putting the league on her back. And
no question.
And actually giving us a reason to watch and also look at some highlights.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, for sure. So I know you're looking into it. I did see Adam Silver discussing, you talk about media rights and all the money that the NBA is going to be bringing in. And I mean, if you listen to him, it does sound like the death of cable is coming.
And that's Jim Dolan trying to protect his own interest, MSG. And also, look, we all love the local broadcast for our local teams.
Yep.
And Jim Dolan is 100% right, but he's also trying to protect his own interest when it comes to MSG. But,
understood.
We'd much rather watch MSG, let's say 90% of the time. Let's say 90% of the time we want to see MSG. And then the other 10% of the time, then the teams can play on the national level.
Fleegs, what did you find there in that article, if you could read from it?
Yeah, so it says that the league did not, this is from The Athletic, the league did not immediately respond to a message asking whether invitations to participate in the contest were extended to Clark and Ionescu. And when asked by a reporter Wednesday, this was before that game against Dallas, if the league reached out to her about the competition, Clark said, "I don't know."
I mean, there's a lot of crap going on here. This is like, you want to build the brand, you want to build the league, you got to have your two best players involved in it.
Yeah.
So Ionescu did shoot in the NBA.
Yeah, against Steph Curry, yeah. Like a whole thing.
Right, but you want to see, like, if you're trying to get eyeballs to the sets, this is it.
No, it would be the one. I mean, I don't know if I would watch it, but I'll tell you, I would seek out the highlights afterwards.
Sure.
So the people that are in, the players, Stephanie Dolson, Alicia Gray, Jonquel Jones, who I was in an airport with in the Bahamas. She's on the Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And Marina Mabry of the...
Who just got traded to the Sun.
Yeah, for the Connecticut Sun. That's right. So... Those are your four. No, okay. Sabrina Ionescu.
Isn't Brittany Griner in it too?
She's in the Skills Challenge.
Got it.
She's in the WNBA All-Star Skills Challenge.
Okay. Mets resume tomorrow night in Miami. Yankees will be home for the Rays. And before I get out of here, and yes, it's slim pickings today, my friend. Let me give you the leaderboard for the British Open, which I guess Justin Thomas just made a double bogey
on
12. So you've got Alex Noren, Justin Rose, Justin Thomas, Russell Henley, all at -2. And Adam Scott at -2 as well. And then in terms of some of the other names that are in this.
Bryson's struggling.
He was at 3 over last time I checked.
He's 5 over now.
5 over?
Yeah, after he just double bogeyed.
Okay. Tony Finau is even through 7. You've got him. Yeah, you tell you. Rory is not. He's even through 4. And yeah, Bryson's, oh boy, way down. You're not kidding. Plus,
I mean, it is really target golf, this golf course. And, you know, I've played this course. And the thing about it is that it's not so much like once you get off the tee and you can find some short grass, which these guys can do. We most oftentimes do not on courses like this, but it's the subtle undulations of the fairways that force you to really think about what you're trying to do with your shot. Sometimes that ball's below your feet. Your feet are not on level ground when you're hitting it.
It's challenging.
Different way to play.
It takes a great deal of focus to know exactly what you're trying to do and where you're trying to hit it and how you're trying to hit it.
And your guy, Scotty Scheffler, 10-10 tee time this morning.
All right. So,
there you go.
All right, thanks, Jerry. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we have another in-studio guest today, and he'll be coming up at 8 a.m., and it's none other than Jeff Fisher, former NFL head coach, obviously most famously known for his run with the Tennessee Titans. And I was thinking about this. I feel like it was Jeff Fisher, and correct me if I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, then this segment gets off to a very bad start. But didn't Jeff Fisher one time when he was a defensive coordinator somewhere, after you guys were doing something, whether it was a no huddle or a different wrinkle in the offense, came up to you after the game and said, what were you guys doing there? I couldn't figure it out, or something along those lines?
Yeah, no, it was my last year in 1997. He was the head coach of the Houston Oilers, who I think were still playing in Memphis at the time.
Okay.
Or actually the Tennessee Titans, I should say. The Tennessee Titans, who were playing at Memphis at the time before they moved to Nashville. And we played them on a Thursday night game in Cincinnati. And this was the game that Corey Dillon went off as a rookie for like 240 yards and set a rookie rushing record. And yeah, we were going at a pace that he didn't I don't think he really understand. And after the game, he came up to me, he said, exactly what were you doing? He asked me that question, like, was that the no-huddle offense? And I'm like, well, it was a little bit of no-huddle, but it was a lot of speed associated with it. And unless you practiced it and you were a part of it, you really, truly can't understand how I'm trying to explain it and how fast we were going offensively. I mean, I was... back then, the energy drink was called Ripped Fuel.
Oh, I remember Ripped Fuel. Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah,
so I would take a Ripped Fuel before the game, and I would drink a Ripped Fuel at halftime.
There also were pills, too. Ripped Fuel pills.
My hair was on fire.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was.
And I mean, I was going 100 miles an hour because I did that in practice.
Yeah,
and I started that season as the backup to Jeff Blake. That was my last year, and I ran the scout teams in practice, and Dick LeBeau was our defensive coordinator, and he used to yell at me saying that I was going too fast. And I would tell the players, I'd say, guys, look, they got 15 minutes for this period. We can get it over in 5 if we just do what we're supposed to do. So when you look at the cards and we're going to run what the other team is going to run against our defense, you know, this coming Sunday, let's get through this period as fast as we can and then stand around for 10 minutes and have nothing to do. You know, I was being a little bit of a wise ass.
Oh, sure, yeah. Right.
So Bruce Coslett was the head coach.
Okay.
Because he had been fired by the Jets, and then he got hired by the Bengals as an offensive coordinator, then he got the head coaching job. I think that's how it went. I'm assuming that's how it went. But I just remember being yelled at in practice that I was going too fast. And I said to our defensive coordinator and our defensive staff, well, if they can't figure it out in practice, they're not going to figure it out in the game on Sunday. So, and we didn't have a very good defense at that time. So I was trying to put as much pressure and competition in their face during when I was running scouting.
So then
I took it to the field.
Yeah. That's so funny that you were taking Ripped Fuel. That's because during that time, at the end of your career, that's when I was playing high school football. Right, in 98, 99,
okay,
in 97, I was a JV. And that's what everybody,
Everybody took Rip Fuel.
Yeah, exactly.
No. There you are, the NFL at the end of your career taking Rip Fuel.
I'm like, where the hell was this stuff like 5 years ago?
I mean, I know. And it's really, I don't know if it's still around. I think there was a couple, some of those things that were just way too intense, but.
Yeah. I don't know. C4 is pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I feel like they've found
Monster Energy is pretty intense.
Yeah, but I feel like it's gotten. It's not as wild, wild west as it used to be. It's more mainstream. There's a lot of energy drinks. Back then, it was like you would take anything and to the point where your heart was just flying out of your head. But I remember that, and I remember Red Line. You remember Red Line energy drinks?
Yep.
Those were intense.
And I remember when Red Bull first came out.
Yeah.
First came out, and I'll never forget my buddy Andy Murstein saying, how, and it was funny that Jeff Fisher's coming in because he's promoting a number of different things. But one of the things that he's promoting is the Arena League Football Championship that's being played at the American Dream.
Right, right.
Which is amazing to me. My friend Andy Murstein said he was interested in acquiring the New York franchise for arena football that was going to play at Madison Square Garden. And he had asked me if I would be willing to be a part of the team and maybe be the president. So I said to him at this time, I said, I don't necessarily know that we can make any money on this around here. To me, this has got to be a marketing play. And the only way I think we can make some serious dough is if we call the team the Red Bulls. And we have their uniforms look like the can.
Wow.
And this was before the soccer Red Bulls were even in existence.
Wow.
This and this is nope. You could, I could get Andy on the phone. He was in NASCAR for a long time. He'll tell you exactly what I told him. I said the only way we can do this if we can convince, because Red Bull had just hit. I think it was probably out a few years. And I said if we can make them into the New York Red Bulls and imagine their uniforms mimicking the can.
There you go. What an idea.
That would be the marketing play.
Right.
For you know, for this energy drink. Now they were big in Europe, I think, at the time. They were doing all their flying, you know, sports and all that other right, stuff. Right. But it would have been perfect, and they would have played at Madison Square Garden. I said I projected maybe 2,000 people at the game, and then I said, you know what? We're going to make the tickets $1, $1, just so people can get in for $1. Then we'll open up all the you know, all the concession stands. We'll bring in bands. We'll do everything else, and then we'll play some sort of football game around it.
So it's the American Dream is where the championship game is happening at?
At least that's what Fleeks told me.
That's where it's happening. Eddie, I mean, you are the king of fakakta football. The championship game is in New Jersey at American Dream. Is it on? What day is it? Do we know what day it is?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, and it will also be televised on CBS Sports Network.
Tomorrow, what time?
I think 5:30 it said kickoff was.
Eddie, this is something you got to go to, no?
Yeah, my fakakta football fandom never has extended to arena football.
Really?
He wants real football field. He wants a real football field. Hey, tomorrow at 5:30 on our network?
That's what the flyer says.
Stephen Waldron of CBS Sports, are you carrying this fakakta football championship game?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, Fleeks. Nice work.
So maybe it's on some sort of streaming service. What? The flyer says CBS Sports?
Yeah, you want me to send you the picture?
Yeah. Why don't you just read it to me?
Well, the flyer says CBS Sports.
Network? All right, who's wrong here? Stephen Waldron, are you dying on this hill?
Yeah, I was wrong. We have it. I was literally the wrong day.
My apologies, Fleeks.
So it is tomorrow at 5:30 on the CBS Sports Network?
Correct.
Way to be on top of it, Steve.
It's a Friday at 5:30? That's strange.
At the American Dream Mall.
Steve, it's like at the Friday, American summer Friday? What do I care what's going on? I leave at 8:30.
Hey, Steven, any idea who is doing the production for that? Who's directing that?
He doesn't even know it's on the network. You're going to ask him who's producing it?
I can look into it. I was looking at the wrong day. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
the way you said no was like we have no interest in this.
No, we're not.
And they have every weekend, they've been airing on Saturday and Sunday a CFL game. Oh, that has been pretty cool, actually. Yes.
You've been watching that. That Fakakta football you're
that,
into.
That is legit Fakakta football.
What if Jeff Fisher was like, Eddie, we know you love Fakakta football, but you've not been an arena guy. I want to show you that this is as just as good of Fakakta football as any Fakakta football. And come down on the sidelines, and you could be my guest, and you could see it up close. You would pass on that?
Yes.
Wow. Man.
That'll be past my bedtime.
I was just thinking that's
on a Friday.
Oh, it's Friday.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Friday 5:30. Friday 5:30 at the American
this
Dream.
Is perfect for you.
And the traffic is going to be just awesome.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, I'm going
to
pass.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Mark in Midland Park. What's going on, Mark?
Hey guys, a couple things. Number one, Redline is still available. You can get it at GNC. It's not really an energy drink. It's like really, you know, you could have a couple sips of it because you'll go off the wall, like you said. It's supposed to be before a workout, whatever. Yeah. That's like liquid cocaine.
Yeah,
it's freaking insane.
Yeah, Mark, I remember taking it. I was working in a warehouse while I was finishing up my degree at Hofstra. And I had to, like, unload trucks and put up boxes and do all this stuff. So I would drink one of those Red Lines, and I was flying around that warehouse like I was a rat was given meth. I mean, I'd never felt like that in my life.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. The other thing I want to say real quick, do you see, like, Phil Mickelson yesterday signing autographs and everything, Bryson DeChambeau? He's like going out of his way and everything. These live guys, you think they're told that you have to start being nicer to these fans so they start watching us?
I wouldn't
see that.
Yes, and I do think, Mark, that it's a possibility that they're told that. Obviously, they are told, come on, make that putt, Tony, for God's sakes. I think there's a possibility that they are told that because they do wear all of their stuff, their team logo and their live stuff. But I also think that those guys are savvy enough to understand that they have fallen out of favor with some fans and they want to build up their own brands to be able to make money. And Phil started his own YouTube channel as well. So I think that even if they weren't told to do that, I think they're smart enough to understand where they're standing.
I don't think that they have been told to do that. I think Bryson DeChambeau has basically remade his whole image through YouTube golf.
Yeah.
And I think you bringing it to my attention has allowed me to now go down these rabbit holes watching these golfers put out this content. And if you are a golfer, you really like these guys now. I mean, you like what they're saying to you, how they're saying it, what they're trying to teach you. You feel like you're buddies with them.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, but baseball could learn from this. Seriously. There's some baseball players out there, if they started their own YouTube channels, that they could be way more popular and get more fans. Like, I honestly think that it helps out, especially with the younger generation. There's so many young people that watch that YouTube, like that Grant Horvath, Phil Mickelson one, that probably has over 1 million views now. I guarantee that most of the people that are watching that are under 45 years old.
Right, and maybe some of those people didn't like Phil because Phil was one of the, you know, guys at the beginning of all of this live stuff that was trying to basically take as many PGA Tour players with him. And, you know, a lot of guys all of a sudden got scared and there was, you know, it was a lot of opportunity for guys to stick together, but they wouldn't stick together. And Rory and Tiger were two of those guys.
That's right.
And Justin Thomas and that little clique all kind of hung together. By the way, you were talking about Major League Baseball. So the ratings for the All-Star game, it wasn't the lowest rated All-Star game.
That was last year.
It
was the second lowest.
This year's rating was a 3.8 rating, which meant 7.4 million viewers. That's less, get this, less than 1 point separates the Copa soccer final and the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so. I actually thought it'd be a bigger gap. I thought there'd be more people watching soccer than that.
Meaning that, you know, baseball is still struggling on a national level. Maybe, oh, well, you know, for those of us who love baseball and love our teams, you know, the regional stuff is still good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we have another in-studio guest today, and he'll be coming up at 8 a.m., and it's none other than Jeff Fisher, former NFL head coach, obviously most famously known for his run with the Tennessee Titans. And I was thinking about this. I feel like it was Jeff Fisher, and correct me if I'm wrong, and if I am wrong, then this segment gets off to a very bad start. But didn't Jeff Fisher one time when he was a defensive coordinator somewhere, after you guys were doing something, whether it was a no huddle or a different wrinkle in the offense, came up to you after the game and said, what were you guys doing there? I couldn't figure it out, or something along those lines?
Yeah, no, it was my last year in 1997. He was the head coach of the Houston Oilers, who I think were still playing in Memphis at the time.
Okay.
Or actually the Tennessee Titans, I should say. The Tennessee Titans, who were playing at Memphis at the time before they moved to Nashville. And we played them on a Thursday night game in Cincinnati. And this was the game that Corey Dillon went off as a rookie for like 240 yards and set a rookie rushing record. And yeah, we were going at a pace that he didn't I don't think he really understand. And after the game, he came up to me, he said, exactly what were you doing? He asked me that question, like, was that the no huddle offense? And I'm like, well, it was a little bit of no huddle, but it was a lot of speed associated with it. And unless you practiced it and you were a part of it, you really truly can't understand how I'm trying to explain it and how fast we were going offensively. I mean, I was back then the energy drink was called Ripped Fuel.
Oh, I remember Ripped Fuel. Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah.
So I would take a Ripped Fuel before the game, and I would drink a Ripped Fuel at halftime.
There also were pills too. Ripped Fuel pills.
My hair was on fire.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was.
And I mean, I was going 100 miles an hour because I did that in practice.
Yeah,
and I started that season as the backup to Jeff Blake. That was my last year. And I ran the scout teams in practice, and Dick LeBeau was our defensive coordinator, and he used to yell at me saying that I was going too fast. And I would tell the players, I'd say, guys, look, they got 15 minutes for this period. We can get it over in 5 if we just do what we're supposed to do. So when you look at the cards and we're going to run what the other team is going to run against our defense, you know, this coming Sunday, let's get through this period as fast as we can and then stand around for 10 minutes and have nothing to do. You know, I was being a little bit of a wise ass.
Oh, sure, yeah. Right,
so Bruce Coslett was the head coach.
Okay.
Because he had been fired by the Jets, and then he got hired by the Bengals as an offensive coordinator, and then he got the head coaching job. I think that's how it went. I'm assuming that's how it went. But I just remember being yelled at in practice that I was going too fast. And I said to our defensive coordinator and our defensive staff, well, if they can't figure it out in practice, they're not going to figure it out in the game on Sunday. So, and we didn't have a very good defense at that time. So I was trying to put as much pressure and competition in their face when I was running scouting.
That's
so then I took it to the field.
Yeah.
That's so funny that you were taking ripped fuel. That's because during that time, at the end of your career, that's when I was playing high school football, right, in 98, 99.
Okay,
in 97, I was a JV, and that's what everybody took ripped fuel.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I know.
There you are, the NFL, at the end of your career, taking ripped fuel.
I'm like, where the hell was this stuff like 5 years ago?
I mean, I know, and it's really, I don't know if it's still around. I think there was a couple, some of those things that were just way too intense, but...
Yeah. I don't know, C4 is pretty intense.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I feel like they've found
Monster Energy is pretty intense.
Yeah, but I feel like it's gotten... It's not as wild, wild west as it used to be. It's more mainstream. There's a lot of energy drinks. Back then, it was like you would take anything and to the point where your heart was just flying out of your head. But I remember that, and I remember Redline. You remember Redline energy drinks?
Yep.
Those were intense.
And I remember when Red Bull first came out.
Yeah.
First came out, and I'll never forget my buddy Andy Murstein saying... And it was funny that Jeff Fisher's coming in because he's promoting a number of different things. But one of the things that he's promoting is the Arena League Football Championship that's being played at the American Dream.
Right, right.
Which is amazing to me. My friend Andy Murstein said he was interested in acquiring the New York franchise for arena football that was going to play at Madison Square Garden. And he had asked me if I would be willing to be a part of the team and maybe be the president. So I said to him at this time, I said, I don't necessarily know that we can make any money on this around here. To me, this has got to be a marketing play. And the only way I think we can make some serious dough is if we call the team the Red Bulls and we have their uniforms look like the can.
Wow.
And this was before the soccer Red Bulls were even in existence.
Wow.
This and this is nope. You could, I could get Andy on the phone. He was in NASCAR for a long time. He'll tell you exactly what I told him. I said the only way we can do this is if we can convince, because Red Bull had just hit. I think it was probably out a few years. And I said if we can make them into the New York Red Bulls and imagine their uniforms mimicking the can.
There you go.
What an idea. That would be the marketing play.
Right.
For you know, for this energy drink. Now they were big in Europe, I think, at the time. They were doing all their flying, you know, sports and all that other stuff. But it would have been perfect, and they would have played at Madison Square Garden. I said I projected maybe 2,000 people at the game, and then I said, you know what? We're going to make the tickets $1, just so people can get in for $1. Then we'll open up all the you know, all the concession stands. We'll bring in bands. We'll do everything else, and then we'll play some sort of football game around it.
So it's the American Dream is where the championship game is happening at?
At least that's what Fleeks told me.
That's where it's happening. Eddie, I mean, you are the king of Fakakta football. The championship game is in New Jersey at American Dream. Is it on? What day is it? Do we know what day it is?
Yeah, it's tomorrow, and it will also be televised on CBS Sports Network.
Tomorrow, what time?
I think 5:30 it said kickoff was.
Eddie, this is something you got to go to, no?
Yeah, my Fakakta football fandom never has extended to arena football.
Really?
He wants real football field. He wants a real football field. Hey, tomorrow at 5:30 on our network?
That's what the flyer says.
Stephen Waldron of CBS Sports, are you carrying this Fakakta football championship game?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, Fleeks. Nice work.
So maybe it's on some sort of streaming service. What? The flyer says CBS Sports?
Yeah, you want me to send you the picture?
Yeah. Why don't you just read it to me?
Well, the flyer says CBS Sports.
Network? All right, who's wrong here? Stephen Waldron, are you dying on this hill?
Yeah, I was wrong. We have it. I was looking at the wrong day.
My apologies, Fleeks.
So it is tomorrow at 5:30 on the CBS Sports Network?
Correct.
Way to be on top of it, Steve.
It's a Friday at 5:30? That's strange.
At the American Dream Mall.
Steve, it's like at the Friday, American summer Friday? Well, I care what's going on. I leave at 8:30.
Hey, Steven, any idea who is doing the production for that? Who's directing that?
He doesn't even know it's on the network. You're going to ask him who's producing it?
I can look into it. I was looking at the wrong day. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, the way you said no We have no interest in this.
No, we're not.
And they have every weekend, they've been airing on Saturday and Sunday a CFL game.
Oh, that's been pretty cool, yeah. Yes. You've been watching that. That Fakakta football you're
into. Yes, that is legit Fakakta football.
What if Jeff Fisher was like, Eddie, we know you love Fakakta football, but you've not been an arena guy. I want to show you that this is just as good of Fakakta football as any Fakakta football. And come down on the sidelines, and you could be my guest, and you could see it up close. You would pass on that?
Yes.
Wow. Man.
That'll be past my bedtime.
I was just thinking that's...
On a Friday?
Oh, it's Friday?
Yeah, okay. It's Friday 5:30. Friday 5:30 at the American Dream.
This is perfect for you.
And the traffic is going to be just awesome.
Yes, that is true. Yeah, I'm going
to
pass.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Mark in Midland Park. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. A couple things. Number one, Redline is still available. You can get it at GNC. It's not really an energy drink. It's like, really, you know, you could have a couple sips of it because you'll go off the wall, like you said. It's supposed to be before a workout, whatever. Yeah. That's like liquid cocaine.
Yeah,
it's freaking insane.
Yeah, Mark, I remember taking it. I was working in a warehouse while I was finishing up my degree at Hofstra. And I had to, like, unload trucks and put up boxes and do all this stuff. So I would drink one of those Red Lines, and I was flying around that warehouse like I was a rat was given meth. I mean, I'd never felt like that in my life.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. The other thing I want to say real quick, do you see, like, Phil Mickelson yesterday signing autographs and everything, Bryson DeChambeau? He's like going out of his way and everything. These live guys, you think they're told that you have to start being nicer to these fans so they start watching us?
I would
see that.
Yes, and I do think, Mark, that it's a possibility that they're told that. Obviously, they are told, come on, make that putt, Tony, for God's sakes. I think there's a possibility that they are told that because they do wear all of their stuff, their team logo and their live stuff. But I also think that those guys are savvy enough to understand that they have fallen out of favor with some fans and they want to build up their own brands to be able to make money. And Phil started his own YouTube channel as well. So I think that even if they weren't told to do that, I think they're smart enough to understand where they're standing.
I don't think that they have been told to do that. I think Bryson DeChambeau has basically remade his whole image through YouTube golf.
Yeah.
And I think you bringing it to my attention has allowed me to now go down these rabbit holes watching these golfers put out this content. And if you are a golfer, you really like these guys now. I mean, you like what they're saying to you, how they're saying it, what they're trying to teach you. You feel like you're buddies with them.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, but baseball could learn from this. Seriously. There's some baseball players out there, if they started their own YouTube channels, that they could be way more popular and get more fans. Like, I honestly think that it helps out, especially with the younger generation. There's so many young people that watch that YouTube, like that Grant Horvath, Phil Mickelson one, that probably has over 1 million views now. I guarantee that most of the people that are watching that are under 45 years old.
Right, and maybe some of those people didn't like Phil because Phil was one of the, you know, guys at the beginning of all of this live stuff that was trying to basically take as many PGA Tour players with him. And, you know, a lot of guys all of a sudden got scared and there was, there was a lot of opportunity for guys to stick together, but they wouldn't stick together. And Rory and Tiger were two of those guys.
That's right.
And Justin Thomas and that little clique all kind of hung together. By the way, you're talking about Major League Baseball. So the ratings for the All-Star game, it wasn't the lowest rated All-Star game.
That was last year.
It
was the second lowest.
This year's rating was a 3.8 rating, which meant 7.4 million viewers. That's less, get this, less than 1 point separates the Copa soccer final and the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, that's not so. I actually thought it'd be a bigger gap. I thought there'd be more people watching soccer than that.
Meaning that, you know, baseball is still struggling on a national level. Maybe, you know, for those of us who love baseball and love our teams, you know, the regional stuff is still good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.